Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
A good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
And welcome to KMOX at your service. Yeah, I know you're wondering what those aren't the same dulcet tones of John Hancock and Michael Kelly. No, they are not. Brad Young in this evening. Why am I here on a Monday? Wow, that's a great question. You know, some of the best questions I've ever been asked are the questions that I ask myself. Fantastic questions. So, of course, I'm teasing. But no, John's a little under the weather tonight. So we decided to swap shows. So he and Michael Kelly should be in on Wednesday evening. I'll be here with you tonight. And wow, this is what the studio looks like on a Monday night. That's very, very interesting. But you know what looks the same is Matt Pajeski. Matt, thank you very much for being in here this evening.
Always, Brad.
And while I got you on the air, and I always play Stump the Producer. I love doing that because it gives a certain sense of organic nature to the show. Yeah. So I haven't talked to you about anything, but you're familiar with the movie Wizard of Oz, right?
Of course.
Okay, you've seen it?
Love it, yeah.
All right, hopefully everybody's seen it. Maybe some 20-somethings. So you're smarter than the average bear. So you've seen a lot of things, been around the world. You know, you've been there, done that, and got the T-shirt.
I like to think so.
So the fact that you've seen Wizard of Oz isn't a shock, but maybe people you've gone to high school with may not have seen it. But in any event, most of you who are listening this evening have seen Wizard of Oz. And something happened today, and I wanted to ask you about it. So back in, I believe it was 2005, the famous slippers from the Wizard of Oz. There were, I think, three pairs of those ruby slippers that were made. And one pair was stolen in 2005. And in 2018, the FBI recovered the shoes and arrested the guy who stole the ruby red slippers. Now, I would be kind of afraid to steal the ruby red slippers. I'd be afraid like a house is going to get dropped on me, mm-hmm. that the flying monkeys are going to come after me, that that apple throwing trees are going to chase me down. I don't want any of the part of that business. But this guy did it. 76 years old. His name is Terry John Martin. Here's the reason why I'm asking you this, Matt Pajeski. Today, he is in very poor health. And because of that, even though the slippers were valued at $3.5 million, his sentencing today, he was released based upon time served from his time of his arrest till today because of health. Now, given that these slippers are a national treasure, that they're more iconic than just about any other movie memorabilia, except for perhaps the Maltese Falcon, given all of that, do you let this guy walk just because he's got some health issues and you just let him go on time served?
I think you have to, Brad.
You do?
I got to abide by the legal system, and if that's what the law says,
okay.
I'm turning into you, I think.
Oh, no.
I spent too much time around Brad Young at KMOX, but I think that's what you have to do. I mean, if there's some sort of law or statute that says that, you know, if the prisoner is in a bad state of health and they have to be, you know, released, then...
Well, it's discretionary. It's not required.
Oh.
It's up to the judge. And so, in fact, what's interesting is that the prosecution, the federal prosecutor, and the defense attorney had worked out a deal that would have required him to serve more time. Even his own attorney said he should serve more time, but the judge ignored the recommendation from the prosecutor, ignored the recommendation from the defendant's own attorney, Terry John Martin, age 76, and said, you know, you're in bad health. I'm just gonna let you go home.
I don't like the sight of that then.
Okay, good.
I guess I'm changing my mind. Do we know what kind of sickness this man had?
Well, according to his doctor, and this, you know, this is questionable because I'm in the personal injury business, all right? And you could get a doctor to say anything.
Yeah.
I mean anything. And so you could hire a doctor that could take a look at me and say I have a full head of hair, which I'm as bald can be. And, of course, that joke's not really funny on the radio. But in any event, yeah, me and John Hancock, we go to the same barber. But his doctor says he only has 6 months to live. Now, we don't know that.
No.
He doesn't. He's in a wheelchair. But, again, you don't have to be crippled to be in a wheelchair. And he uses an oxygen tank. So the judge, again, bucked both the prosecutor and the defense attorney and said, you know what? You're good. You look pretty bad. I think you're good for a time served for stealing a national treasure. I mean, it's almost like the movie National Treasure,
yeah.
You know, where the Declaration of Independence was stolen by Nicolas Cage. All right. So I don't know. That just seemed kind of wrong to me.
Yeah, you know what, Brad? I'm changing my mind. Put this guy back in. Let him live out his days in jail.
And really, you could say if you're that bad health, you can go into the Gray Bar Motel, and they'll give you free health care in prison.
Sure, yeah.
They'll take good care of you in there.
Your meals are provided for you.
Three meals a day.
There you go.
All the health care you need. Here, and a great library.
Now, if he had stolen something of less value, like, I don't know, maybe a flying monkey hat or something. I think they wear hats. Or...
They did. They wear those stupid like bellhop hats.
Yeah,
remember that?
Yeah. If he had stolen one of those, then maybe I could see you letting him go. But not the ruby slippers. That's criminal of the highest order there.
Well, somebody texted in and said, so he's been in prison all this time. I guess they just don't want to take care of many people anymore. And there's some truth to that. Maybe they didn't want to incur the medical costs, so they said, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Out you go. We'll see. But I appreciated your take on that, Matt Pajeski, as always. Hey, we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk to friend of the show, Dr. Ryan Ogliori. He's an astrophysicist right here in St. Louis at Washington University. An amazing guy. And I wanted to reach out to him to talk about, we've had a couple of attempts to get to the moon this week. We've had the helicopter on Mars is out of commission, and I wanted him to give us his expert take on these and other things that are space-related. Brad Young at your service on a rare Monday edition of the Brad Young Show. Stick around. We'll be right back. Skies
are blue. Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Yeah, that's right. Star Trek. Great entry and a great intro to our next guest, Dr. Ryan Ogliori at Washington University. Dr. Ogliori, friend of the show, great to talk to you again, my friend.
Awesome. Thanks for having me again.
Well, I wanted to reach out to you because, as you know from past conversations we've had, I have been this enormous fan of the helicopter that's on Mars for lots of reasons, but really one of the main reasons, beside the fact that it's just darn cool that we had a flying vehicle on another planet, but secondly, and more realistically, that this was something that was created really just showing the entrepreneurial spirit of NASA to create something that the science said couldn't be done because of the thin atmosphere on Mars. So something happened to that helicopter this past week. What happened?
Yeah, so it probably fell over, damaged one of its rotors, so its mission has come to an end after 72 flights. It was planned as, you know, maybe three or four. It was totally supposed to be a demonstration, like, can we do this at all? Is it at all possible? And it vastly exceeded those expectations. It flew for a couple hours of total flight time, it was a wild success. And things, you know, it's amazing that it worked that long, and eventually it probably fell over. You know, it's a very delicate thing, and it's amazing that it lasts that long.
Well, and what was amazing to me is that the thing was built out of a cell phone. Because the NASA engineers needed something that was powerful, that had computing power, that had a low electrical needs, and a cell phone was the natural choice. So they kind of built it, MacGyvered it out of a cell phone. But I want to talk to you about the big picture idea with regard to this helicopter. And what did that mean to you? I mean, you're a real scientist. I'm just a fanboy. But from your perspective, what did it mean for the future of studying other worlds that we could progress from having a rover that can cover a few hundred feet in a day to having a vehicle that flies on another planet?
Yeah, it's been a tremendous evolution in space exploration. Like, just landing on Mars or any other world was a huge success with, like, Viking, and then these rovers became more and more capable. And now to explore, like, kind of geologic landscapes, you need miles and miles of transportation potential, and kind of aircraft gets you there. So this is really cool. It's the first powered flight on another world. We're going to go to Saturn's moon Titan and have a nuclear-powered quadcopter explore Titan. So this kind of, tech demo has huge impacts in future exploration, too.
And as I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, and then I want to get into some of these other things to talk about tonight as well. But the whole analysis of studying how a helicopter, and the same principles would apply to a quadcopter, but would operate in an atmosphere that is radically, totally different than what we have here on Earth. Is that analysis that we went through to make sure that the Mars copter would work? And of course, it did spectacularly. Is that kind of research beneficial when we design, as you said, a quadcopter to go to Titan, or if we have future Mars quadcopters to explore for ice or water on the surface of Mars? Does that research pay off in the long run?
Yeah, you know, they start very conservative, right? And that's why they said this, what they, you know, the JPL engineers are fantastically talented, the people that built this with the MacGyver-esque approach to it. And they probably knew it was better than they had, you know, they undersell, overdeliver. So they probably knew it was capable of doing much more. I think that they have laboratories there that can simulate as best we can the surface of Mars. Like, we know its atmosphere is 1% of ours, its gravity is 1/3 of ours. And so with that, you know, that calculation comes out pretty well. But then actually doing it on another planet, there's space exploration is tremendously challenging. So all the unknowns, the winds on Mars, the dust, powering the batteries back up, all of these things are completely unknown, and once you're there, you can't fix it. So if something breaks, like, that's it. And that's what eventually happened with Ingenuity.
Well, and that's what I wanted to use that as a segue, because we also had a couple of moon missions, and neither of these moon missions worked out as planned because of just the uncertainty of going into space. Tell us about the Japan mission. It's called SLIM, the Smart Lander for Investigating Moon Mission. Tell us about that mission, what went wrong, and what was it designed to do?
Yeah, so Japan has tried to land on the moon before, and they have failed. About half of all, you know, planned lunar landers have failed. And so they finally actually got it right. It wasn't totally right. So this was another tech, you know, mostly a tech demo. It had some science instruments, but the idea was to make a precise landing on the moon, with an accuracy of about 100 meters compared to, you know, 20 kilometers for Apollo 11. Mm. And so if you want to go to a specific place on the moon, and we're interested in these kind of permanently shadowed regions. So there's regions on the moon because of the crater topography. They never see sunlight. And so these things, like these shadowed regions, likely contain ice that we can exploit for water and rocket fuel. So if you want to go to a specific place on the moon, you need this precision landing capability. And that was the purpose of SLIM. and it didn't exactly do that. It did land where it was supposed to. It just tipped upside down, that's all. So it's kind of inverted. But other than that, it had two little rovers that it dropped, and those are both working. It's just slightly upside down, that's all.
We're talking to Dr. Ryan Ogliori. He's an astrophysicist at Washington University here in St. Louis. And Dr. Ogliori, what is this designed to do? And some people question, and you just highlighted a moment ago some of the benefits, but I've heard a lot of folks question, why are we still interested in the moon? We've been there, done that. We did it a very long time ago, over 50 years ago. So what's the point?
Man, the moon is I've just got into more lunar research personally lately. The moon is a fascinating if you're just interested in geology, it is unbelievably fascinating. Besides that, I know that's like a pure scientific interest of mine and other people, but the moon as a resource, as a jumping off point for Mars, as a gateway where we can have a permanent establishment to get us to the next step, to get us out of Earth's gravity well. So that kind of strategic positioning in terms of exploring further off into space, the moon is great for that. And this discovery of there being, you know, the moon was thought to be bone dry. We don't think that anymore. And as a resource for volatiles and propellants and water and that kind of thing, it's much more interesting than we thought it was 50 years ago. So it's a fascinating body, and it's our cosmic neighbor. So we definitely need to know more about it.
Yeah, and again, we're talking to Dr. Ryan Ogliori from Washington University. But Japan isn't the only entity that tried to go to the moon over the past couple of weeks. We also had the Peregrine mission. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this was fascinating. You know, we had the big head of planetary science at NASA visit WashU just a couple months ago. She talked to a class of students there, and I got to talk to her for a little bit. And she was like saying, you know, these might not work. And because of this difficulty of doing a soft landing on the moon, it is incredibly difficult. Half of them fail. You know, it was hard 50 years ago. It's still hard now for very similar reasons. So Peregrine didn't even get the opportunity to land. So it launched on a new rocket, and that new rocket did great, the ULA Vulcan rocket. Then it had a propellant leak immediately after it separated from the rocket, never made it to the moon, came back to Earth and burned up over the South Pacific. But again, kind of like SLIM, it had instruments that were working near the moon's orbit. And so it got a lot of really good data, actually, and it sent that back to the ground. But again, like this, you know, it had an oxidizer problem. SLIM didn't land perfectly. So these, the history of the Apollo missions, both of these things happened with the Apollo mission. So Apollo 11 almost crashed into a crater until Neil Armstrong steered it the right way. And of course, Apollo 11, you know, Kevin Bacon stirred the oxygen tanks and it exploded.
It was Kevin Bacon that was up there. That's amazing. I had no idea.
But both Peregrine and SLIM kind of echoed those two human-related disasters in a robotic sense, and the robots can't recover like humans can. So I thought that was an interesting analog.
But one of the things that I wanted to kind of zero in on with this Peregrine mission is that this was something that was initiated by NASA with a commercial partner. And so Astrobotic, which was a private company, they provided the launch, they provided the lander. So in essence, this was a private attempt to land on the moon. How important is it from your perspective, both from a scientific perspective and from an exploration perspective, that we encourage and enable private enterprise to enable them to get to the moon?
Yeah, this is very cool. And I, you know, we're going to have a bunch more of these. They're called, CLPS missions, the CLPS missions. They're going to come fast and furious over the next couple of years. And this is kind of how private sector works. You know, they try things And sometimes it doesn't work, just like we see with the SpaceX Starship rocket blowing up all the time. That's how you need to try things, and then you iterate, and NASA doesn't work that way. NASA wants it to work perfectly every time, but in the early space age, that's not how we got, that's not how we developed technology. It's more of this try and fail thing. So I'm super happy that NASA is sponsoring this, and you are going to see some failures. So this is like watching, you know, a daredevil sport where it probably won't work. You know, something will probably go wrong, and I hope people will be interested in seeing the successes and failures of these missions. I think it's really cool. There's a Viper rover that's on this that I'm super excited about. There's a bunch of things, and, you know, statistically, half won't work. I hope it's more than that. I hope 80% will work, but we never know.
And the last question, we're talking to Dr. Ryan Ogliori from Washington University. And Dr. Ogliori, last time we spoke, you talked to us about a mission that you are proposing to NASA that would be based right here at WashU in St. Louis. Give us another tease about what that mission might be.
Yeah. I just talked about that at a conference last month. So that mission it's a NASA mission. So through their New Frontiers program. So this would go to a moon of Jupiter called Io. And Io is the coolest place, the most awesome place in the solar system. Not cool. It's incredibly volcanically active. It looks like Darth Vader's home world. There's volcanoes and lavas flowing everywhere. It also has volcanic plumes that are erupting hundreds of miles into space. And so our mission would go out to Jupiter, go into orbit around Jupiter, fly through one of these volcanic plumes, collect gas and dust from that volcanic plume and bring it back to Earth where we can analyze that sample in labs like mine and others here at WashU and elsewhere. So that's the idea. People think it's really cool. I have to go through competition. I have to write a 1,000-page proposal, that kind of thing. But my fingers are crossed for sure.
Well, we will keep track of that. And I know I'll be checking in with you, Dr. Ogliori, to get the update on the status, because, again, I'm a fanboy of all this stuff, and I'm glad that you're the expert. You know, I'm just a Trek geek that loves the reality of it, but you, my friend, are doing this stuff, and plus you're the only rocket scientist I actually know, so there you go. So I appreciate you being with us again, and if folks want to keep track of what you and your department are doing at WashU, how can they find you?
Yeah, we have the McDonald Center for Space Sciences is kind of the overarching space entity at WashU. So mcss.wustl.edu, or Google that, and they have we're great about keeping up current events with the McDonald Center. We're doing lots of cool stuff in astrophysics, planetary science, Earth, all that stuff. So that website will tell everybody what's going on, including a lot of public talks. So we have public talks happening all the time. Really amazing people come here and talk to everybody and about all the cool space science going on.
Very good. Dr. Ryan Ogliori from Washington University. Hey, thanks for putting up with my silly questions and joining us again here on KMOX.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
It's great talking to you, sir. Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I always try to be topical. And with the Chiefs going into the Super Bowl again, there's an issue that's come up. Don't start the hate texts about Taylor Swift because of these AI pornographic photographs that are circling around about her. We're going to break down the legalities of that next here on At Your Service, KMOX. Welcome back to At Your Service. You know, I got to tell you, Matt Pajeski makes me laugh every time I'm on by his choice of bumper music. It works extremely well. Thank you, my friend. Before the break, I mentioned AI deepfakes. And the reason why I bring this up is because, and that's why I said don't start the hate texts, because I mentioned Taylor Swift. But if you do want to text in, that's fine. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's call or text. But just last week, as we were getting ready for the Chiefs game this Sunday, a story broke about a bunch of AI-generated pornographic images of Taylor Swift were circulated on X, formerly known as Twitter. And in fact, these, according to the research I did today on this, those images were live for about 17 hours. Now, I haven't seen them. I don't go looking for pornography, so I don't know what they look like or how good they are. But according to reports, anyway, they look just like Taylor Swift, except they're pornographic. And the issue becomes, in fact, these were live for about 17 hours. And according to the Associated Press, they were viewed more than 45 million times before removed. My guess is that number has exploded exponentially since then, because it's probably on other websites. It was probably downloaded. It's going to be reposted. But it really raises a couple of legal issues here. And I wanted to mention those because we're at the forefront of this AI imaging. And in the past, you could certainly use Photoshop and people could doctor up images to look kind of like somebody. But the imaging never really looked all that good, let's be honest. And I'm not talking about pornography. I'm just talking about doing imaging in a photograph to look like somebody else. And you could always tell. You know, we have become a very astute observers of technology. And how can I say that? If you go and watch a movie from 10 years ago and there's special effects, you're going to start snickering at the special effects that were done 10 years ago. Why? Well, because you become a more sophisticated consumer. You know what stuff is supposed to look like, and when it looks inferior, you're like, oh, hey, I can spot that. Not a problem. But now that we have AI and computer-generated graphics, I think we're going to get to the point very, very quickly, both in this area of there being AI pornography, but also images. How about in court settings? How do you handle a situation where you have an exhibit that purports to be a photograph of someone committing a crime and the entire thing has been AI generated? Can experts tell the difference? I don't know. We use in court, we use photographs all the time. We use demonstrative evidence on a regular basis. And if we can't trust the legitimacy of those photographs, then the question becomes, can it be evidence? Or in this instance, and this is what I wanted to talk about this segment, and I've got some folks that are already texting in about AI-generated imaging regarding minors, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. But in this case with Taylor Swift, what can she do about it? Well, there's two sides to this, or there's two steps to this process. The first, even though Elon Musk has been a very, very vocal proponent of free speech, even he said, at least his company said, Twitter, formerly known as Twitter anyway, said these things have to come down. They violate our terms of service. And so it took about 17 hours for Twitter to find it. And then when they found it, they took it all down and they suspended the accounts of those who were exchanging the images. One may say, why 17 hours? You know, that seems like a long time. And if there's any litigation over this, under Section 230 of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, the websites don't have any liability. They're shielded from liability for content that's posted by individuals. So first of all, there wouldn't be any liability against Twitter or X unless there's evidence that they knew about it and then left it up for an extended period of time. Then there might be liability for that. But I want to get to the people who generate this. Is there liability for that? And the answer is yes, there is. There's something called the right of publicity. And under the right of publicity exists in every state. You have the right. You own the intellectual property right that is your image. You own it. And so if someone else steals your image for a commercial purpose and uses it for a commercial purpose, you could sue them for that. You could sue them for damages. You could sue them for a whole range of either emotional damages or financial damages for that use of your image. Now, how does that work? Well, for example, it was Vanna White. If you're a fan of Wheel of Fortune, Vanna White sued Samsung, my goodness, 8-9 years ago, because Samsung was promoting a product with, it looked like Wheel of Fortune. There was a wheel, there was somebody spinning the wheel, and there was an attractive, slender, blonde woman standing in front of a group of letters. Now, the image didn't even look like Vanna White. It just happened to be a slender, tall, attractive, blonde woman in an evening gown. She sued, and she won, because it was obvious that they were using her image and likeness standing next to a group of letters in context with a spinning wheel to make people think that's Vanna White. The estate of Harry Carey has sued people who try to do impressions of Harry Carey for commercial purposes, and they won. So you have that right of publicity. So in this instance, if Taylor Swift wanted to file lawsuits, track down who did it, now chances are these people don't have any money. You know, they're probably living in their uncle's basement, generating porn for who knows what reason. So I don't know that there's going to be money there, but there could certainly be an attempt to prosecute. There could be an attempt to sue for damages, a violation of their right to privacy, also a violation of the right to publicity. And those are all legal actions that Taylor Swift could take. Now, she can afford to hire good lawyers. So that would not be an issue here. Also, I think it was in 20.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back to At Your Service. You know, I got to tell you, Matt Pajeski makes me laugh every time I'm on by his choice of bumper music. It works extremely well. Thank you, my friend. Before the break, I mentioned AI deepfakes. And the reason why I bring this up is because, and that's why I said don't start the hate texts, because I mentioned Taylor Swift. But if you do want to text in, that's fine. 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's call or text. But just last week, as we were getting ready for the Chiefs game this Sunday, a story broke about a bunch of AI-generated pornographic images of Taylor Swift were circulated on X, formerly known as Twitter. And in fact, these, according to the research I did today on this, those images were live for about 17 hours. Now, I haven't seen them. I don't go looking for pornography, so I don't know what they look like or how good they are. But according to reports, anyway, they look just like Taylor Swift, except they're pornographic. And the issue becomes, in fact, these were live for about 17 hours. And according to the Associated Press, they were viewed more than 45 million times before removed. My guess is that number has exploded exponentially since then, because it's probably on other websites. It was probably downloaded. It's going to be reposted. But it really raises a couple of legal issues here. And I wanted to mention those because we're at the forefront of this AI imaging. And in the past, you could certainly use Photoshop and people could doctor up images to look kind of like somebody. But the imaging never really looked all that good, let's be honest. And I'm not talking about pornography. I'm just talking about doing imaging in a photograph to look like somebody else. And you could always tell. You know, we have become a very astute observers of technology. And how can I say that? If you go and watch a movie from 10 years ago and there's special effects, you're going to start snickering at the special effects that were done 10 years ago. Why? Well, because you become a more sophisticated consumer. You know what stuff is supposed to look like. And when it looks inferior, you're like, oh, hey, I can spot that. Not a problem. But now that we have AI and computer generated graphics, I think we're going to get to the point very, very quickly, both in this area of there being AI pornography, but also images. How about in court settings? How do you handle a situation where you have an exhibit that purports to be a photograph of someone committing a crime and the entire thing has been AI generated? Can experts tell the difference? I don't know. We use in court, we use photographs all the time. We use demonstrative evidence on a regular basis. And if we can't trust the legitimacy of those photographs, then the question becomes, can it be evidence? Or in this instance, and this is what I wanted to talk about this segment, and I've got some folks that are already texting in about AI-generated imaging regarding minors, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. But in this case with Taylor Swift, what can she do about it? Well, there's two sides to this, or there's two steps to this process. The first, even though Elon Musk has been a very, very vocal proponent of free speech, even he said, at least his company said, Twitter, formerly known as Twitter anyway, said these things have to come down. They violate our terms of service. And so it took about 17 hours for Twitter to find it. And then when they found it, they took it all down and they suspended the accounts of those who were exchanging the images. One may say, why 17 hours? You know, that seems like a long time. And if there's any litigation over this, under Section 230 of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, the websites don't have any liability. They're shielded from liability for content that's posted by individuals. So, first of all, there wouldn't be any liability against Twitter or X unless there's evidence that they knew about it and then left it up for an extended period of time. Then there might be liability for that. But I want to get to the people who generate this. Is there liability for that? And the answer is yes, there is. There's something called the right of publicity. And under the right of publicity exists in every state. You have the right. You own the intellectual property right that is your image. You own it. And so if someone else steals your image for a commercial purpose and uses it for a commercial purpose, you could sue them for that. You could sue them for damages. You could sue them for a whole range of either emotional damages or financial damages for that use of your image. Now, how does that work? Well, for example, it was Vanna White. If you're a fan of Wheel of Fortune, Vanna White sued Samsung, my goodness, 8-9 years ago, because Samsung was promoting a product with, it looked like Wheel of Fortune. There was a wheel, there was somebody spinning the wheel, and there was an attractive, slender, blonde woman standing in front of a group of letters. Now, the image didn't even look like Vanna White. It just happened to be a slender, tall, attractive, blonde woman in an evening gown. She sued, and she won, because it was obvious that they were using her image and likeness, standing next to a group of letters in context with a spinning wheel, to make people think that's Vanna White. The estate of Harry Carey has sued people who try to do impressions of Harry Carey for commercial purposes, and they won. So you have that right of publicity. So in this instance, if Taylor Swift wanted to file lawsuits, track down who did it, now chances are these people don't have any money. You know, they're probably living in their uncle's basement generating porn for who knows what reason. So I don't know that there's going to be money there, but there could certainly be an attempt to prosecute. There could be an attempt to sue for damages, a violation of their right to privacy, also a violation of the right to publicity. And those are all legal actions that Taylor Swift could take. Now, she can afford to hire good lawyers. So that would not be an issue here. Also, I think it was in 2018, Scarlett Johansson did the same sort of thing because she was the victim of some, and again, AI back then wasn't as good as it is now, but she was the victim of some AI-generated explicit videos, and she took legal action as well. So this can be done, and I hope that Taylor Swift, who is a billionaire now, has the financial resources to do it, because we're on the cusp of this becoming very, very common. And I want to touch on this separate topic in just a moment. We got to take a break. When we come back, though, I want to talk about one of the texters who called in and said, how do we handle, as a society, AI-generated child pornography? How do we handle that? And I'll break that down for you as well next on At Your Service. Welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young in here for the last segment. And during the break, Matt Pajeski and I were talking, and you mentioned something about George Carlin.
Yeah, Brad, you were talking about how all the how artificial intelligence is, you know, recreating images and voices of famous people that we know. George Carlin's estate is in a lawsuit over this AI, I guess, company, or I don't know what the company would be, but his voice was sampled, and AI was able to come up and create this just audio comedy special using his voice, where it sounds identical to him. And as you were saying, it mimics his comedic timing, his pauses, and it sounds identical to him. It's really scary to see how, or to hear how similar it is to the real George Carlin.
It is, and I actually listened to that last week, and it had to be sampling. It could not have been anything other than sampling, because I've always been a George Carlin fan, and the voice is exact.
Yeah.
And the material is, I'm sorry to say, dead on. but even his timing, even the way his timing works exactly the same way. And the comedy bit is called "Sorry, I haven't been around, but I'm dead." That's the name of the bit. And it is pretty funny. And he talks about current events, And he talks about it, but it's all fake, 100% fake. And so that gets to that point that I was making earlier, that this is, we're only seeing the beginning of this, where we're not going to be able to trust what we hear, and we're not going to be able to trust what we see. Matt also mentioned during the break, as we were talking, that there was a Joe Biden phone call during the New Hampshire primary, or that was it Iowa or New Hampshire?
It was one of the two.
It was either Iowa or New Hampshire. And there was a phone call from Joe Biden. It wasn't Joe Biden. It was a completely AI faked voice recording. So that's going to be, we're going to be seeing that all the time as this moves forward. But one of the people who texted in said, what about child pornography? What about child pornography that deals with AI generated images? Well, I have to premise the entire conversation by saying that it's difficult to even think about such a reprehensible topic. You know, as a Christian, I look at a lot of sin and I think, you know, some of that I kind of understand, but this isn't one of them. And I can't even fathom the mind of someone who would be interested in child pornography. I can't understand it. But the question becomes, how do we handle this from a legal perspective? And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this for obvious reasons, but there are two legal issues, two competing legal concepts here that will be challenged in the future. I promise you, this is going to be challenged. There was a Supreme Court case from 2002 where the U.S. Supreme Court said that images, and even back in 2002, they were crude, but they apparently, someone was interested in them. Folks were prosecuted under it, went all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the court said this, that if an actual child is not involved in the creation of the imagery, then it is protected speech. On the other hand, and this is the part where the Supreme Court dealt with this, but it was more than 20 years ago. On the other hand, this kind of protected speech is commercial speech. And if it's commercial speech, it has a lower level of protection than, say, religious speech or political speech. And so because of that, there were laws in place at the time, then, just as there are now, that basically states that any hyper-realistic sexual imagery of a child is illegal, that we don't want to allow that as a society for obvious reasons. So that conviction was upheld. But as this imagery gets more and more realistic, and as it becomes more and more prolific, I think it's just a matter of time before this gets challenged again. And when it does get challenged, and it will probably be done by someone who's not selling the images, but they are creating the images for their own consumption. At that point, is that pure protected speech? If no children are involved in the creation of this reprehensible, awful product, is it protected free speech? That's a great question, and I don't have the answer to that. And it's one of those things that really push the boundaries of how free do we really want our speech to be? Because if there's anyone that I would want to squelch their speech, it would be this. But do we allow this, yes or no, as a society, as a legal concept, as a Supreme Court? How do they fall on this protected free speech? I don't know, but I do know that I will be keeping you up to date on this. Brad Young at your service. We have another hour right after this at Camo X. Welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young in here for the last segment. And during the break, Matt Pajeski and I were talking, and you mentioned something about George Carlin.
Yeah, Brad, you were talking about how all the how artificial intelligence is, you know, recreating images and voices of famous people that we know. George Carlin's estate is in a lawsuit over this AI, I guess, company, or I don't know what the company would be, but his voice was sampled, and AI was able to come up and create this just audio comedy special using his voice, where it sounds identical to him. And as you were saying, it's it mimics his comedic timing, his pauses, and it sounds identical to him. It's really scary to see how, or to hear how similar it is to the real George Carlin.
It is, and I actually listened to that last week, and it had to be sampling. It could not have been anything other than sampling, because I've always been a George Carlin fan, and the voice is exact.
Yeah.
And the material is, I'm sorry to say, dead on. but even his timing, even the way his timing works exactly the same way. And the comedy bit is called "Sorry, I haven't been around, but I'm dead." That's the name of the bit, and it is pretty funny. And he talks about current events, and he talks about, but it's all fake, 100% fake. And so that gets to that point that I was making earlier, that we're only seeing the beginning of this, where we're not going to be able to trust what we hear, and we're not going to be able to trust what we see. Matt also mentioned during the break, as we were talking, that there was a Joe Biden phone call during the New Hampshire primary, was it Iowa or New Hampshire?
It was one of the two.
It was either Iowa or New Hampshire. And there was a phone call from Joe Biden. It wasn't Joe Biden. It was a completely AI faked voice recording. So that's going to be, we're going to be seeing that all the time as this moves forward. But one of the people who texted in said, what about child pornography? What about child pornography that deals with AI generated images? Well, I have to premise the entire conversation by saying that it's difficult to even think about such a reprehensible topic. You know, as a Christian, I look at a lot of sin and I think, you know, some of that I kind of understand, but this isn't one of them. And I can't even fathom the mind of someone who would be interested in child pornography. I can't understand it. But the question becomes, how do we handle this from a legal perspective? And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this for obvious reasons, but there are two legal issues, two competing legal concepts here that will be challenged in the future. I promise you, this is going to be challenged. There was a Supreme Court case from 2002 where the U.S. Supreme Court said that images, and even back in 2002, they were crude, but they apparently, someone was interested in them. Folks were prosecuted under it, went all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the court said this, that if an actual child is not involved in the creation of the imagery, then it is protected speech. On the other hand, and this is the part where the Supreme Court dealt with this, but it was more than 20 years ago. On the other hand, this kind of protected speech is commercial speech. And if it's commercial speech, it has a lower level of protection than, say, religious speech or political speech. And so because of that, there were laws in place at the time, then, just as there are now, that basically states that any hyper-realistic sexual imagery of a child is illegal, that we don't want to allow that as a society for obvious reasons. So that conviction was upheld. But as this imagery gets more and more realistic, and as it becomes more and more prolific, I think it's just a matter of time before this gets challenged again. And when it does get challenged, and it will probably be done by someone who's not selling the images, but they are creating the images for their own consumption. At that point, is that pure protected speech? If no children are involved in the creation of this reprehensible, awful product, is it protected free speech? That's a great question, and I don't have the answer to that. And it's one of those things that really push the boundaries of how free do we really want our speech to be? Because if there's anyone that I would want to squelch their speech, it would be this. But do we allow this, yes or no, as a society, as a legal concept, as a Supreme Court? How do they fall on this protected free speech? I don't know, but I do know that I will be keeping you up to date on this. Brad Young at your service. We have another hour right after this at KMOX.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth.
I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation Trusted Dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.